This is Rabbi Chaim Bravender, Rosh Yeshiva of the Web Yeshiva, with the Nach Yomi podcast for Tehillim, chapter 76. The first pasuk, of course, is introductory. Lam Natzer Beniginot, Mizmor La'asaf Shir. Lam Natzer Beniginot, Minatzeach, as we have mentioned, refers to the director, the person who is in charge of the music and the singing. Niginot, the singing. Mizmor, another word for zemer, for song. La'asaf, the name of the person who is associated with producing this chapter of Tehillim, and Shir. So all of these words meant something particular in the Beit HaMikdash. We understand that they're kind of musical notations, but we don't really know what they mean. The rest of the perek divides easily into three sections. The first section containing the psukim beit tadalet, Noda biyehuda elokim. Noda biyehuda, that God is known, God is felt, we are aware of God in Yehuda. Noda biyehuda elokim. BiYisrael gedol shemo. B'nei Yisrael, obviously, think positively well of God's name. They give him great honor. They give him credit. And so, the introductory pasuk is that there's an awareness of God in Yehuda. And there's an awareness of the name of God in Yisrael. So that Elohim, as you understand, is almost a kinui. It's an alternate name for God. But Shmo, the name of God itself, indicates or reflects a higher level of knowledge and understanding. So the Mechaber, the author of the Mizmor, understands this, and he makes the point that Noda Yehuda Elokim, God is known. Elokim refers to God's actions, to the things that God does in the world. Whereas Gadol Shemo refers to an aspect of God that is not describable, that cannot be associated with the divine actions or actions that take place in the world in which we live. So that Noda biYehuda Elokim biYisrael Gadol Shemo. That means that in Eretz Yisrael, that's Yehuda, and Yisrael refers to the whole of Eretz Yisrael. Yehuda, in history, was the southern part, Yerushalayim, and south, and Yisrael was Yerushalayim and north. But here, the point is that in Yehuda and Yisrael, in the place in the world which the Beit HaMikdash was the focus of, Noda Elokim. There's an awareness that God is in charge of the world. You look at the world and you see what happens, you know that God is in charge. But the name of God, which is a much more elusive kind of reflection on God himself, so to speak, that also exists. It was in the ancient world, I suppose, that religion was based on being able to point to specific achievements of the divinity in the world, what we call nisim, miracles, salvation. Right? But in Am Yisrael understood that this was only one aspect of the relationship with God. That noda, understanding, watching what happens in the world and being able to attribute it to God's will. That's a great thing, but it's only the beginning. B'Yisrael Gadol Shemo, that is really something remarkable. The next pasuk, Vayhi B'Shalem Sukkot U'Ma'onato B'Tzion. Vayhi B'Shalem Sukkot. Right? Obviously, we're talking about Sukkot. Sukkot is a sukkah. Sukkat David. The place that David HaMelech began to build, which was completed by his son. So obviously, Vayihi B'Shalem. Shalem is the city usually called by us Yerushalayim. Coming from Yerushalayim. The name Yeru means city in some Middle Eastern language. And Shalem is the name of the city. Sukkot, the place of God, which is called a sukkah. Uma'onato B'Tzion. B'Tzion, Tzion is again a synonym for Yerushalayim. So that the sequence of the psukim, the sequence of the psukim seems to indicate what we all know to be true, that the building of the makom, of the place of God, in Eretz Yisrael, making the Beit HaMikdash, right, producing the Beit HaMikdash, well, that needed a certain awareness. And you know that the Beit HaMikdash was built hundreds of years, 400 years after Yoshua ben Nun conquered the land. And so Yoshua ben Nun didn't just go straight away to Yerushalayim and build the Beit HaMikdash. And why not? I mean, he had the power. He had the army. All the nations of Canaan seemed to be crumbling before him and before his power. Why didn't he build the Beit HaMikdash? What was it that we were waiting 400 years for? It may be that these psukim are a reflection of the answer to that question. The answer to the question of what we were doing until the Beit HaMikdash was built. Well, Noda B'Yehuda Elokim, that's Yoshua and the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, fraught with miracles, endless miracles, taking place in Eretz Yisrael. Walls falling apart, sun and the moon standing still. I mean, the Jews could certainly claim that they knew a lot about God's relationship to the world, no doubt. They understood. The Israel, however, Gadol Shemo, it took a long time until they were able to understand this other aspect of things of Gadol Shemo, that God was able to make his presence felt through that exalted name. It wasn't because something happened. It wasn't because God changed the natural order of things. Not at all. It was rather because Gadol Shemo, that we just knew that God was there. And that was apparently the prerequisite, if we read the psukim in sequence, the prerequisite to Vayihi B'Shalem Sukkot U'Ma'onato B'Tzion. The third pasuk in the first section, Shama Shibar Rishvei Keshet, Magen V'Cherev U'Milchama Selah. Shama, I guess refers to in Yehuda v'Shomron, in that place, in the place where there's both Yidiah, knowledge of God's action, and the Shem Hashem, right, the awareness of the imminence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in that place, Shama, Shibar Rishvei Keshet. Rishvei Keshet are arrows that come out of the bow, that are shot out of the bow. And Shibar Rishvei Keshet means that they were harmless. They didn't do anything. And Magen, Magen v'cherev u'milchama. All of these notions of weapons and defense and war are really connected to the first part of our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'noda Yehuda Elokim. It's almost as though we need war, but we need to battle. We need to be able to reach to the extraordinary. We need to be able to see in what is happening in warfare, for example, the hand of God. And everybody knows that when there are battles, when you participate in the war, like in Eretz Yisrael, I mean, we've had more than our share of wars. And we have more of our share than our share of war stories. And there are always some stories about specific help that HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered a specific soldier at a specific time. And there's a certain need that we seem to have for those kinds of stories and that kind of awareness. And that need that we have is part of Noda. It's part of Noda. We need the miracles. We need to be saved to talk about miracles. But when we get to Vayhi B'Shalem Sukkot, when we get to the position of this awareness that we are simply interested in interacting with God's presence, then war is irrelevant. It becomes a kind of diversion from our real interest. And so Shama in Yehuda v'Shomron, or the Beit HaMikdash, Shibarish ve'kashet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the arrows coming out of the quiver, coming out of the bow, Magen v'cherev u'milchama. All of this has come to an end. And this section ends with the word Selah, which again is some sort of a musical notation. And these three psukim apparently were sung in the Beit HaMikdash on some special occasion. The second section of this chapter, the psukim, Heytiyud 5-10. Naor ata Adir Miharerei Taref Naor Adir. The word Adir, for example, you have this great ability. Naor Ata Adir Miharerei Taref. So the word Naor is to leave aside, like the pasuk Zanach Hashem is bechol na'er mikdasho, to destroy something, to leave it away, so that when you say Naor Ata, that means that you have ultimate power. You can do whatever you like. Meharerei taref. It's not clear what these words mean. Let's go on to the next pasuk. Pasuk Vav. Eshtolelu abirei leiv. Namu shinodav. Ishtolilu abirei leiv. The abirei leiv, the knights, the warriors, ishtolilu. They lost their power. Namu shnatam. Namu shnatam. They no longer were the sign of power, but they became sleepy, and the lo matzu kol anshei chayil yedehem, and they were not able to wage a war. They weren't able to do what it is that they were supposed to do. The lo matzu kol anshei chayil yedehem. They kind of were not in control of themselves anymore. They couldn't direct their hands or their limbs to act on their behalf. Migaratcha Elokei Yaakov Nirdam Verechev Vasus. The chariots, the horses, also are asleep because of Ga'aratcha. Ga'aratcha, because of the yelling of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Elokei Yaakov. Pasuk Chet says, Ata, Nora Ata, Umi Yamod Lefanecha, Me'az Apecha. In other words, these psukim after establishing the fact that there's a yidiyah, a knowledge of God's action. Partially it comes through the miraculous nature of the relationship between God and the world, which in turn is reflected in battles and war, and the understanding of the Shem Hashem. But that doesn't mean that the Mechaber says, starting in Pasuk Vav, that God is committed to making miracles, that we get them, no matter what, that wars are always won. I mean, that's not at all the way the world is organized by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Tet, Mishamayim Hishmat Adin. Right? Mishamayim Hishmat Adin. There is din. There is judgment in heaven. Right? Every year there's a Yom Hadin. And that Yom Hadin, Eretz Yara Ushketa. The world becomes still and quiet. Bekum Lamishpat Elokim. The land is frightened because God decides to judge us. So judgment is the word that describes the lack of permanence in the relationship. It's an ongoing demand that we deserve what it is. That we deserve what the relationship implies. We can't say that because God saved us last year, that God will save us again this year. So this is the point, that there are anvei aretz, there are the humble in the land, there are those who are unable to save themselves, who are the responsibility of others, and they are the test, apparently, as to whether this relationship will continue in the way it has been up to now. So that the Mizmor emphasizes these two ideas. The first idea being that there's a lower form of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's based on miracles. Miracles meaning that you see the obvious nature of God's intervention in the world, and that is what produces our reaction. That reaction again is described in the last psukim of the Mizmor, starting with Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Bet, Nagru v'shalmu l'Hashem Elokeichem Kol Svivav Yovilu Shai Lamore. In other words, this idea that we thank God, that we have to do something real to thank God for what happened, a neder, an oath, a shai, a gift, all of that is part of the reality of the ongoing relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's a higher relationship. That relationship that is part of Gadol Shemo. Part of Gadol Shemo. And that relationship is what caused the building of the Beit HaMikdash. But this is like a kind of a ladder, or kind of a structure that's built level upon level. And the second level depends on the first level. The connection to Shemo depends on the miraculous nature of our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in battle, but we have to understand that there's no guarantee. It's not that God will always save us. It's not that we will always emerge victorious, but there's an annual test. And who are you this year? And what are you doing this year? And what you are supposed to be this year, what you're supposed to be, according to the way we understand it, is someone who cares for the anavim, the one who cares, lo shia kol anvei aretz, in pasuk yud. That's our job. Our job is to make sure, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats us in general, we too are obliged to treat anvei aretz. Anvei Aretz referring to those who are disenfranchised, those who are unable to deal with themselves. So that's our purpose. That's our job. That's what makes it possible for this relationship to be going ongoing and continuing. And so, you know, Sinat Chinam could lead to the destruction of this entire edifice. Idol hate, can destroy the second level, and then the first level, and render the relationship meaningless, and cause the exile of the Jewish people. So that this mizmor, which glorifies the relationship as it should be. This mizmor is an indication. It's like a worthy reflection of our own situation. Are we satisfied for are we working? Are we happy with the situation that we're in? Or are we working to improve it, to further it, to make it better and better?